Bibles to Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15 for the text of our lesson. Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged to say, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. That's the reading of Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. There are a number of cases of conversion or examples of salvation recorded in the book of Acts. Now, of course, at the time that these were recorded, during the work of the Apostle Paul, there were thousands of people who were led to Christ Jesus. In fact, in the early part of Acts, we're dealing more with the work of Peter than of Paul. And so you take the two together, and then also Barnabas is thrown in and others. Then certainly there were many thousands of people who were led to Christ. But the Holy Spirit has chosen just to reveal a few of these, that the cases, the actual what happened, to illustrate for us how people are saved. So obviously the fact that there's just been a few of them chosen, each one of these that's chosen has something about it that has something special to teach us that we ought to pay attention to. Now the thing that's obvious, I think, concerning Lydia is here is the conversion of a woman. In fact, this is a businesswoman. Now in most religions, men are favored very much over the women. I've been amazed at Islam, how women are treated just very little above animals, treated as slaves. And by the way, when you're around Muslims, as Sandy and I have been in New York City, then you see that even more so. In various religions, in the Mormon religion, everything is done for the men. Even the matter of going to heaven, you know, they teach that marriage is for eternity in the Mormon religion. And some of the women like that, but if you delve a little bit further into it, when they're married in a Mormon temple, then the wife and the husband are given secret names that only the two of them are supposed to know. And according to Mormon doctrine, when he gets to heaven, if he doesn't call her name, she can't come. So she's got to totally not please the Lord, but please him, her Lord, in order to go to heaven. Well, of course, the New Testament is not that way. But rather, all people, men, women, regardless of race, regardless of social standing, all are treated with equality so far as our standing before God and so far as the opportunity for salvation. Now, we're taught that we have roles in life in the marriage relationship and in the church. But so far as our standing before God and so far as our importance to the Lord, each person is a soul that stands just as valuable, equal is to every other person who has ever lived upon the face of the earth. And so we have in the New Testament the case of Lydia, the conversion of a businesswoman. Today we simply want to look at how she was converted to Christ. Now some people appeal to the case of Lydia because there's something unique about her. It says the Lord opened her heart. We've talked about this before in a study, so I won't go into greater detail about this. But if you go back to about verse 11 and come on down, you'll see that there's various things that happened, that some of which were miraculous. The Lord speaking directly to the Apostle Paul, and some of which might have been providential, they making such fast progress across the Adriatic Sea to come to Macedonia. But nonetheless, the Lord simply put Paul in contact with Lydia. And then you read, of course, in our text in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, that there was a certain woman named Lydia who heard us. And so she heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Well, so you then have in the text how the Lord opened her heart. Now people have in their mind, that in order for the Lord to open our hearts, that there has to be some kind of a miraculous experience. The Holy Spirit operating directly upon the heart to open that heart. And of course, that is common to Protestant denominations. But you don't find that in this text. Now you do find the Lord opened her heart. But if you look in the text about what was done to open her heart, It's the same way the Lord opened the heart of every other sinner who is converted to Christ, as is recorded in the book of Acts. The Lord brought the preacher in contact with the sinner. The sinner heard the gospel of Christ, and the preaching of the gospel opened her heart. And that, of course, is how we're led to faith in Christ. That's how we are led to become children of God. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, this is Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, the Apostle Paul himself traces the chain. Now, actually, what he does is begin at the end and go backward to see how it came about. In verse 13, it's whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, of course, that calling is more than just saying, Jesus, save me. Well, that's another study. But notice beginning in verse 14 what leads up to this. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not heard? So in order to call, we have to hear Him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Excuse me. First is how shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And then how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, by the way, I just talked for a moment about that being sent. People think that preachers are miraculously called and miraculously sent. Well, the apostles were miraculously called. The apostle Paul was. The other apostles were called by Jesus Christ while He walked upon this earth. But Paul was miraculously called to be an apostle, a witness of Christ, and inspired of God. But I'm not an apostle. There are no apostles of Christ on the earth today. Now, there are preachers sent today the same way that Paul and Barnabas were sent. In Acts chapter 13, they were sent by the church in Antioch to go out and to preach the gospel. And it's certainly true that a preacher needs those behind him who will support him and encourage him, and sometimes even send him. For example, I go to Africa, I go to Samoa, and I have to be sent there. I don't have the money to pay to go myself, and so I have to be sent. Well, and so in some sense, preachers have to be sent to preach the gospel, not miraculously today as the apostles were, but we have to have congregations or individuals or both behind us who will encourage us and pay the way, send us to do that work of preaching. And so you do that today also. You help me in this work of preaching the gospel. But how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That the message is so wonderful, even the means that got the preacher there is beautiful. His feet that carried him there are beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's how the sinner's heart is opened. It's opened by the preaching of the Word of God. The sinner must hear the preaching of the Word of God, and that will lead to faith in Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what happened in the case of Lydia, as in every other case in the New Testament of those who were led to Christ Jesus. And that's how people are led to Christ today. Not by miraculous opening of the heart, not by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the heart, but by the preaching of the Word of God. They have to hear, believe, and obey the Word of God. But it says in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, now a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she heeded the things that were spoken by Paul. The old King James Version says she gave attention to. The New King James says she heeded. Other translations in the New American Standard, it's rendered, I believe, she responded to it. Sometimes this word, which is translated to heed or to give attention or to respond, is translated by beware or be on guard. That is actually the literal meaning of the word, or to be very careful about. And I believe the point is that she was very careful about what she heard, and having paid attention, very careful attention to what she heard, then she responded to it in the right way. Now, if somebody preaches to you or somebody teaches you something you've never heard before, and you pay careful attention to it, and they persuade you that something is true that you have not believed before, have not known about before, and then tell you that there's something that you need to do as the result, if you give heed to, if you pay attention to, if you're very careful about that word that you receive, what will you do as the result? Well, what you will do as the result is not only to believe what is preached, but then you will also obey what is preached. And that is exactly what took place in the case of Lydia. She obeyed. And that's the reason that James says in James chapter 1 verse 22 that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And so by the fact that she gave attention to what was preached by the Apostle Paul, then she did what he told her to do. Well, now what did he tell her to do? Well, there's just a little bit that's revealed in this passage because it has already been revealed in other passages. There's no need. By the way, that's the reason as we go forth in the book of Acts, as we get further into the book of Acts, the record of the cases of conversion become briefer because most of the information that we know about conversion is revealed early on in the book of Acts. The great majority of it in Acts chapter 2, some more in Acts chapter 3, and then in Acts chapter 10, there's quite a bit revealed. But as we get into these later examples of salvation cases of conversion, it's very brief. So what in other places had been revealed that people needed to do in order to be saved? Well, we've already talked about Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 17, that faith leads up to calling on the name of the Lord, and certainly we must believe and we must confess our faith in Christ. Staying there in Romans chapter 10, look at verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So then the Apostle Paul tells us, in contrast with the Old Testament, where salvation was something that was far off, something that was difficult to attain, under the New Testament, it's attainable by all. It's something near to us. All can be saved. And it's by the exercise of the mouth, confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, and by the exercise of the heart, there's faith behind that confession. That is, believing in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So responding or heeding that message would mean that she indeed believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that she confessed with her mouth, her faith, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But going back early in the book of Acts to cases that were recorded before where we can see what we must do. Remember, this is a brief case. It doesn't tell us very much about what she did in heeding the words of the Apostle Paul. We can see more. Go back to Acts chapter 3 and notice what Peter said on the second sermon that he preached in Acts chapter 3 verse 19. In fact, this is the theme of Peter's second sermon recorded in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, or repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So if someone will repent, that means of course that they turn from their sins. Repentance is a change of mind, a mental about face, in which we make up our minds that we'll quit doing what we want to do and we'll give our lives doing what God tells us to do. And when we make that change in our mind, that mental about face, then we are repenting of our sins. And Peter told those people who had crucified Jesus Christ, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray, and then they were to repent therefore and turn again or be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Their sins will be forgiven them, as he preaches in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. So then we know that she would be told to repent of her sins, to turn away from what she might have been doing that was wrong, and to turn to Christ Jesus and to give her life to obedience to Him. But there's one thing that is specifically recorded that she did in response to the preaching of the message of Christ, and that's in verse 15. It says, when she and her household were baptized. Notice it just incidentally mentions the fact that both she and her household are baptized because, again, we've had revelation before this in the book of Acts as to the importance of the act of baptism. In fact, the first case of conversion that's recorded in the book of Acts makes this very clear in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when those people cried out to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That's Acts chapter 2 verse 37. And of course, the answer is found in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So she was to be baptized for the remission of sins, in order to the remission of sins. And so the fact that she heeded the words of the Apostle Paul, she paid careful attention to and gave attendance to, that is, she did what he told her to do, would imply that she did indeed repent of her sins, believing in Jesus Christ, that she did indeed confess her faith in Jesus Christ, and of course it's stated that she was baptized, and we know from Acts chapter 2 verse 38 the reason that she was baptized, and that is for the remission of her sins. She and all her household were baptized. But there's one thing that follows this that, as far as I can remember, is unique to the cases of conversion recorded in the book of Acts. And that is, that she says, when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, the word that's used there, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord." Now, she had done those things, and the only thing recorded is baptism that the Apostle Paul told her she needed to do. And so that was what showed that she was faithful to the Lord. She was dependable in doing what the Lord told her to do. She gave attention. She heeded what was preached. She was baptized. "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." Stop and think about this for a moment. Why did she have to beg them to come and to stay with her? You know, when I go overseas, when I can, I stay with people in their homes. Now, I do that for two reasons. One is, it saves money for the churches that send me there. But the other reason is, it shows the people that I am just one of them, that I'm not above them. You know, I go to third world countries where people are very impoverished. And if they will invite me into their home to stay in their home, I go and I stay in their home. And I try to eat the same food that they eat. Now, I don't drink the same water they drink, but I do try to eat the same food that they eat, and to make myself a part of that family. But what if that family were just several women? Would it look good for me to go and to stay with them? No, they'd have to do a whole lot of begging and say, you know, there's going to be an arrangement where this won't look bad, where it won't appear that this is an immoral situation. When I go to Uganda, the Lord willing, I'll be in Uganda the last part of March of next year. When I go to Uganda, I usually stay in the home of Rosemary Othieno. She is a divorced woman. Her husband was a preacher who fell away from Christ, but she's very, very devoted to the Lord. And when I was first going to stay in her home there in Jinja in Uganda, I was a little bit concerned about that. But you know, I found out there are lots of men staying in that home. There's lots of women staying there. She's a very hospitable person. And there's no reason that anybody should think anything bad about that. It's a situation where everything is shown to be on the up and up, as we would say. And so I have no doubt that the Apostle Paul had to be persuaded by this good woman Lydia that there's not going to be anything that would cause any harm to come to your reputation or to my reputation. You know, she was also a godly woman, and she was very concerned about that, so she begged us, and apparently the Apostle Paul persuaded that that was the case, and so he was willing to stay with her. But notice this, please. There are some acts of faithfulness that is easier for a man to take care of, and there's some acts of faithfulness that's easier for a woman to take care of. Now, I have practiced hospitality. I'm not very good at it. There's things that I don't think about. Now, I try to do right, but there's things I just don't think about, and there's things I'm not very good at doing. And so I'm just not as good at that as my wife is. But you know, women are very good at that, practicing hospitality. And the first thing that's recorded after she becomes a disciple of Christ, an act of faithfulness that something women are able to do better than men. She practiced hospitality. She had the Apostle Paul and his company to come and stay with her in her home. Now, there is an example to us there in several ways. One, of course, is that as soon as she becomes a disciple of Christ, she's not sitting there doing nothing. She's looking for, how can I serve the Lord? And the second thing is the hospitality that Christians ought to be showing one to another. Now, in a sense, this was shown in the first case of conversion, as is recorded in Acts chapter 2. For there, of course, among the things that are recorded about them, their faithfulness to the Lord, beginning in verse 42, it begins a record. This is Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. There's a record there of the faithfulness of those disciples who were converted at that time. And in verse 46 it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house." Now, I like the way the New American Standard Version renders that. It says the breaking of bread was in one another's homes. And the point is, they were having each other into their own homes on a daily basis to share their food with one another. Now, they came together in the temple in order to meet, to study. And by the way, back in verse 42, there's a breaking of bread that took place when they came together. And I have no doubt that's the Lord's Supper. But in verse 46, this is from house to house. This is in one another's homes. This is hospitality that they're exercising one to another. And this is a great example that is left for us by this godly woman, Lydia. Here is a businesswoman who understood to put first things first. And she was one who apparently was a Jewish convert on the Sabbath by the riverside, worshiping the Lord rather than competing with her neighbors who were Gentiles and trying to do business on what to them was the day that belonged to God, the Sabbath day. But then when she was converted to Christ, the first thing we see about her is doing something as an act of faithfulness, that something that women are better at than men, and that is practicing hospitality towards those preachers of the gospel. In that way, she was helping to spread the gospel to Philippi and to other places. And there's a way that some that might not be able to preach, might not be able to go to Africa, but nonetheless you can help in spreading the gospel of Christ by helping those who are doing that work of spreading the gospel of Christ. And thus Lydia becomes an example to us of a godly woman who became a disciple of Christ, who became a Christian, and we should do as she did.